Let's pray. God, thank you so much for loving each one of those boys and girls and knowing each one by name. And thank you for your dream for each one, that they would come to trust your love, to know how deeply you love them, and that they'd experience the joy of going forward into life with courage and faith, to share your love with others, to be a part of the good that you are doing in this world. May they experience that joy. And God, as we pray for them to grow in all that you intend, we would now bow before you and pray for ourselves. Whatever else happens in our world, whatever anybody else does, oh God, may we be among those who follow you. May we be among those, oh God, who even in the darkness of our world, allow your light to shine brightly. We pray with great hope and confidence in the name of Jesus. Amen. So I love Epiphany. This is that season after Christmas where we celebrate the light has come into the world, the light shining in the world. And we're talking during these weeks in January about learning how to walk in that light, learning Jesus' way. And so over the last couple of weeks, we've talked about some of the basic concepts that go with learning to walk in Jesus' way. The first week, we talked about some of those overarching concepts, like trying to always ask God, what's next? You know, if we're on following Jesus, if we're on that path, then there's always going to be a next step for us. That as we step forward, love is going to lead the way. Love's always going to be a part of the answer of what that next step is for us. That as we step forward, we can always expect resistance to come our way. And that as we step forward, we need to stay attentive for God's presence and God's continued speaking and leading and blessing upon us and through us. That's just a general way of venturing forward. The second week, we talked about the kind of characteristics of a follower of Jesus that we ought to be praying for in ourselves and asking God to help develop us, because we see these characteristics in Jesus and we see them clearly in those who begin learning his way in the New Testament. And among those things, we get that humble spirit, you know, the first beatitude. Pastor John will be talking about this next week. Blessed are the poor in spirit. But that humble spirit is so critical. And in humility, knowing that we need to always be seeking, have a seeking spirit. How can we grow? How can we serve better? How can we follow more closely? To have that kind of a spirit in ourselves, to have a spirit of courage. We can't follow Jesus if we're not willing to step out there. And then finally, we talked about having this generous spirit. That spirit we see in Jesus as he comes to earth. That spirit we see in Andrew as he runs off to bring Peter and say, we found the Messiah. This generous, loving spirit that overflows as we experience the love of God, we just have to share it. And I'd invite you, if you haven't heard those sermons this last couple weeks, they are online, and I know our staff is going to be posting this week some of those basic points that were a part of each one, because I know some of you have come up even this week and said, what was that S, you know, in last week's sermon? That was seeking, by the way. But, you know, you could look online and you'd be able to get some of that. But this week, what I want to talk about, having looked at those basic concepts for learning Jesus' way, how is it we actually discern what God wants us to do and do it? How do we start walking that path? And the first couple of elements of this, well, before I go on into them, let me read the scripture, actually. This is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4. And we'll be looking at Jesus as he begins his ministry. And we'll be looking at Peter, Andrew, James, and John as they begin following Jesus. And as we look at them discerning and doing what God wants them to do, it will help us. I believe it'll help us discern and do God's will in our own lives. So here's the word of God from Matthew chapter 4. Now when Jesus heard that John the Baptist had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the land of Naphtali and Zebulun. so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. For those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time on, he began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked on along the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, casting their net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately, they left the boat and their father Zebedee, and they followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So what do we see in Jesus and these first disciples? How is it that they discern and they do what God the Father wants them to do? The first thing we see is this all goes back to what we've been talking about each week, this idea of staying attentive to God, to live our lives actually believing in God. Can you imagine doing that? You know, to actually live your life believing in God? That God is actually here and with us, that the kingdom of heaven is come near? That the King of heaven has come near? Can you imagine living your life believing that God actually is speaking today and is speaking to you? Can you stay attentive as you venture forward this week? You know, at the core of that attentiveness is the word listen. We see Peter and Andrew, James and John doing this, don't they? They listen and they hear Jesus say, "Follow me." We know they've been seeking already. The Gospel of John that we looked at last week talks about how they were seeking the Messiah. Andrew was there with John the Baptist. They're seeking, but now Jesus speaks and the time has come for them to respond to that voice of God and to follow him. This idea of listening is just recurrent throughout the scriptures. Listen to this passage from Isaiah chapter 55. I love this. "Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live." Over and over again, we hear that if we want to live, we need to listen to God. It's the first thing. Jesus, he says over and over again, "Let everyone who has ears to hear," anybody know? Listen. Let's try that together. "Let everyone who has ears to hear," listen. He tells that when he talks about this parable of the sowing, the seeds being sown into the different soils. You remember that parable? How some of it's rocky, some of it's just on the path where it's hard. Some of it goes in and starts growing, but the thorns, the cares and concerns of life choke it out. But some of it falls into good soil. And that the seed that falls into good soil grows up and it bears fruit 30 and 60 and 100 fold. That's the kind of seed I want to be. And guess what Jesus says right after saying, there's that kind of seed, there's that kind of soil. Let anyone who has ears to hear. If you want to live the life God has created you to live, if you want to learn Jesus' way and walk in it, practice listening. Join these community Bible experiences. Be a part of that. Join one of our small groups. Take time for a devotional life. Read the Bible and ask God to speak to you. The second thing we see in this passage is that Jesus is calling people to look to the light that's been given. I love the way Jesus calls people here. You know, this is from the prophet Isaiah. Those who lived in a land of darkness, on them light has shined. For those who lived in the shadow and region of death, light has dawned. Now, I don't know if you've ever been awake at dawn. Anybody? It's still kind of dark at that time. The darkness hasn't gone away, but you know that something has changed and it's never going to be the same again. The day is dawning. But that doesn't mean that as I'm coming across the parking lot early in the morning, I don't have to watch where I'm walking a little more carefully than I would if it was later in the day. It's still dark out there. You know, many in our congregation experienced that. Even this past week, we just stood in memory of a couple of our saints. Death, the shadow of death is still here. Sometimes we feel it so strongly. The darkness around us in our world when we see the news and in the midst of the changes that are going on and the conflicts in our nation and beyond, we see the darkness and we get anxious about it. We say, God, where are you? And God says, I'm here. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Look to the light that I've given you and walk in it. Don't wait until I show you everything, until the night is gone. Start walking now. Wake up and repent now. Walk in the light that you've been given. If you're anything like me, I always want a little more light. I'm like, God, I think you want me to do this, but what's going to happen when I get there? You know, what's going to happen around that corner? And God says, I've given you all the light you need for the next step. Will you trust me and take it? Peter, Andrew, James, and John, follow God's call to walk with Jesus. They can't know where this is going to lead. They can't know that for Peter, he's going to stand, this fisherman, instead in front of thousands of people proclaiming the gospel and they're going to come to faith. He can't know that now. All he can know is, I'm going to follow Jesus today. I'm going to walk in the light I've been given. He can't know that the day's going to come when he's going to hang on a cross upside down and die for Jesus. Does he know that when he says, I'm going to leave my nets behind and follow you? He can't see it all, but he can see Jesus. He can see the light he's been given, and he'll step out to follow it. And that leads me to this really key point that I want you to take home today. This third L is the word leave. And if you want to follow Jesus, you're going to have to leave something behind. You're going to have to step from where you've been to step toward where God's calling you to go. You think of Peter and Andrew, James and John. They left their nets behind. They left their boats. They left their father. That's what it takes to follow Jesus. You can't get there from here if you don't leave something behind. You can't say yes to Jesus without saying no to some other things. And the question for us in our own lives is, what is it that God's calling you to say no to? What is it that God's calling you to leave behind in order to follow him? You know, even Jesus, did you notice that? I don't think I've ever noticed it before until this time studying this passage, that Jesus left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum. Even Jesus had to leave where he was, where he had been at home for over two decades, in order to move forward into what God the Father was calling him to do. It's not going to be any different for you or for me. If we want to follow Jesus, we're going to have to leave what's been to step forward to what is going to be. You know, we've got a number of people in our congregation who are experiencing this just in general in their lives as they go through transitions. You know, as we grow and go from one school to the next or one job to the next. We have to leave something to move forward to what's ahead. Some of the older members of our congregation are struggling because it's time to move from where they've been living for decades to where they need to live now. And that's a hard transition to make. But I've talked to so many who, when they've made that transition, they're so glad they finally said goodbye to what was, even though they wish they could go back, and they've moved forward into what God is calling them to do. We need to do that. We need to practice that in our lives, or else we will stagnate. We'll not continue to mature. We'll not continue to grow unless we can leave where we've been and move forward to what God is calling us to do. And that's true for us spiritually in terms of our growth, as you know, in our understanding of God. It's true in terms of our service to God. That, you know, to get involved in one of these community Bible experiences is going to mean saying no to that hour in front of the TV or that half hour of reading those 12 pages or whatever it might be. If you want to follow Jesus in terms of your sacrificial, faithful giving to God and the ministry of the church, it's going to mean saying, you know what, I'm going to have to pass up some of that coffee or, you know, that vacation, whatever it might be. What's it going to take? What do you have to say no to if you're going to actually serve God with all that you are and have? So I want to invite you to ask God about that. What is it I need to be letting go of, leaving behind to move forward? But the fourth and final thing I want to talk about is that as you step forward, that there's this step of faith, or maybe we should call it a leap of faith involved. You know, this venturing forward to follow Jesus means saying, I believe you're with me, I believe you're speaking, I believe you're giving me the light I need, and I'm going to leap forward, I'm going to venture forward, I'm going to give my all to follow you, and I'm going to trust that as I do, you're going to be there for me, you're going to be there with me. If I'm making a mistake, you'll redirect me, but God, I'm going to go for it here with this life you've given me. I've only got one life to live, and I want to live it for you. And I love what N.T. Wright has to say about Peter and Andrew in their lives. He's got this quote in which he says, there was no way Peter imagined that a great church in Rome would be dedicated to his memory, nor Andrew that whole countries, Scotland, Greece, Russia, would look to him as their patron saint. They neither saw the glory nor the pain that day when a young man walked by the sea in their little town of Capernaum on the north shore of the Sea of Galilee. They only saw Jesus, and that was enough. You know, they leaped forward. Henry Nouwen, I love his writing, talks about this time he was speaking with the leader of an acrobatic troupe, these trapeze artists. And this trapeze artist who goes flying through the air with the greatest of ease was talking about how I'm not the most important person in what happens here. The most important person is the catcher. I've got to have the courage to jump, to leap, to swing, but I've got to trust him to be there for me. If I try to catch him, I'll break his wrist or he'll break mine. I've got to leap trusting that he'll be there for me and that he'll catch me and bring me all the way to where I need to be. Nouwen writes about this in terms of that great leap that each one of us sooner or later takes into death. That we need to trust God as we take that leap. That God will be there. Trust him for those we love. Trust him that he'll bring us all the way home. But we practice that leap day by day in 1,000 different ways. Every time we trust God enough to take our next step, to leave the comfort, the status quo, what's been, and to say, I want to follow you, Jesus. I want to serve you, Jesus. I want to be a part of what you're doing in this world. And so for each one of us this morning, I want to invite you as we bow in a time of prayer to ask God what it is to help you discern what it is he's calling you not just to think about, but to do, to practice this leap of faith, this adventure of life that God has created you to live. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we thank you for sailboats that leave the dock and go out onto the open seas. We thank you for others like Peter and Andrew, James and John, who left their boats behind and wandered off to follow you wherever it was you were going. We thank you, Lord, for those throughout the centuries who, in the midst of changing kingdoms and kings, administrations and nations, in the midst of it all, those who have looked to your light, listened to your voice, and been willing to venture forward, trusting you. We thank you for the way, God, that your light has shined for them and through them, even in the midst of the darkness of the world. God, on this day, in this week, in this year, grant that we would walk in your light and by your grace be a part of your light shining amidst the darkness of our world. To your glory and God, for the blessing of many, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.